All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are taking a look at, again, the beauty, and I guess you could also say the power of communicating with God. I was mentioning that, you know, when it comes to gifts and callings, they come without repentance, and that it is good to exercise the gifts that we use, but really and truly, the only time that it really matters to God is when we have a righteous lifestyle that is combined with the use of those gifts, the exercise of those special gifts, whatever kind of gifts they are. And that's why I like to quickly, you know, I mentioned to you, hey, none of us is perfect. And I've said on a number of occasions, very, very candidly, that I know I sin from time to time. It's not a lifestyle. I will say that. Sinning just is not a lifestyle for me. I don't love sin. I don't. I plain do not love sin, mine or anyone else's. My own sin is the sin that I hate the most. And it's not because I'm more important than anyone else. It's because my sin is closer to me than anyone else's sin is to me. Because my sin is in me, my mind, my attitude, my actions. So it's not necessarily the case that my sins are worse than everyone else's. No, I'm not saying that either. But I am saying, based on the relationship that I personally have with God, you can't experience my relationship with God. I can't experience your relationship with God. They can't experience our relationship with God. Each person has their own experience of their own relationship with God Almighty. And so let's put it in this context so that you can really grasp where I'm coming from. If I do one of my children wrong, I've done that child wrong. Even if you know about it, you didn't do the child wrong, and your relationship with my child is not messed up because I did my child wrong. So I'm really bothered by what I did to mess up my relationship with my child. Now, maybe at school, and maybe someone at school does something to offend my child. I'm not going to like that. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take some action. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, if I've done the same child wrong, I can tell you what will bother my conscience the most, what will bother my heart the most, is the wrong that I've done my child, and not that the wrong that that person at school did to my child. Both situations will bother me. But what's going to bother me more is what I did wrong to my child, and how I've messed up the flow of our relationship. That's what's going to bother me the most. I should say more. That's what I'm saying. It's not necessarily that what I did was necessarily worse than what that person at school did to my child. But because I've placed so much more value on the relationship that I have with my child than I place on the value on the relationship that that person at school has with my child, I'm going to be more concerned about what I did. And I've got to make that right. I've got to make amends. Once I realize I was wrong, I have got to make amends. And I'm going to tell you, for real, I'm not just using this as an example. Now, this is reality. When my children were younger, young children, if I did something wrong, maybe I punished a child who should not have been punished. Maybe someone else did you know, someone else did something that should not have been done. And after asking some questions and trying to do some fact finding, I concluded that this child is the one who did that. And then later learned that that child is not the one who did it. It was another child. Well, of course, I let the child who did it know that I didn't appreciate the fact that they let their sibling take the blame for something that they had done. I also let them know that I didn't appreciate the fact that they had allowed me to be deceived. But I had to go to my child who I had punished and plain admit I was wrong. And without realizing it, I passed judgment on you. And then I punished you. And I was wrong for that. And I truly apologize. And if there was something else that I could do in addition to apologizing, and I would never apologize without that apology being a sincere apology. If there was something else I could do, maybe give that person an extra bit of time playing this game or something else I could do, I would do that too. And it wasn't just a matter of me trying to clear my conscience. I was trying to make amends. I was trying to make things right with my child. So, it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that we value our relationship with our Creator, with God. And even though sinning is not my lifestyle, as I said before, when I do sin, it bothers me. And you can best believe I just own up to it. I don't try to pretend. I don't try to fool myself. I don't try to fool God. I just own up to it and I apologize. And I go ahead and get myself back on track. We should all go ahead and get ourselves back on track. And when I say get ourselves back on track, I'm really talking about people who have entered into a life of submission to Christ and who are working to live lifestyles pleasing to God. And for those who have not gotten to that point yet, I encourage you, do it. I'm telling you, that's the way to live. It really is. We still have hard times just like everyone else. We still have people hate us, just like folks hate people who are not committed. All the problems that mankind has, we have them too. But that peace of knowing that when we leave, you know, that while we're here, we are truly living to please God, and pleasing Him is important to us, like pleasing parents is important to young children. So I'm just saying, go ahead. Do what we need to do to get it right. Have that relationship beautiful. Now, that said, as we're steadily working on improving that relationship, of course, we're steadily working on communicating and making the communications better and better and better. And of course, we humans are the only ones who need to improve on it, because God has it down. He has the communication down for His part. We just need to improve. But He helps us improve. And so here I want to talk with you about another example, another instance of God's audible voice having been heard by humans. And this time, let's go to Acts chapter 9 and take a look at what happened with Saul, who became the apostle of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, starting at verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, that's one of the addresses that they made. You know, Christianity was called the way before it was called Christianity. So that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He heard this voice, this audible voice. He was not born again. Remember, he was on his way to do more damage to the people who were born again. And while he was on his way to do damage to the people of God, he heard a voice say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. Saul asked this question. He used the title Lord simply because he knew someone in authority over him was dealing with him. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Saul heard this voice the same way you and I hear each other's voices. Saul heard this voice with his physical ears, but he knew he was hearing from someone who had much greater power and authority than any natural man. Listen to verse 7. "The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. They too heard the sound of Jesus' voice." Despite the fact that Jesus was only talking to Saul, he made his voice heard by not only Saul, but by the men who were there with Saul. They all heard the audible voice of the Lord Jesus. So all I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Although there are people who say we never hear God's audible voice, that's not necessarily true. In fact, I've given you instances so far where people who were born again heard God's voice, and people who were not born again, people, plural, who were not born again, heard God's, the Lord's, Jesus' audible voice. When we come back, let's look at least one more instance of some people having heard God's audible voice.